Thank you. You may be seated. Life is complex. Talking about child rearing and home order and all that. I'm thankful I was not raised in the home that my father was raised in. I'm thankful he did not duplicate that for me. He gave me something much better than he had, and yet it's my responsibility to give my children something better than I had. Amen. And my children have no concept of growing up in my home as much as I have really no concept of growing up in my father's home. And so I pray that everyone will humbly focus on improvement based on the privileges and the improvements that they have received. James 3:13. There's a question asked, and it goes right along with what we've been talking about. James 3:13 begins by saying, "Who is a wise man among you? And endued, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you?" That's a good question. Everyone would like to think that they are the wise one. Everyone would like to think that they're the one endued with knowledge. As I look out of my two eyes at the world and hear out of my ears and evaluate with my little brain, I can come to the conclusion that I'm the smart one. And does not everyone to some degree like to come to that conclusion? I think very rarely would our own heart and mind allow us to come to the conclusion that I'm the dull one. You know, whether it's the sly, confident villain, the wayward youth, the rich man, the showy woman, or the godly man or the godly woman, everyone would like to think that they're the one with superior discernment. But what determines wisdom? Who is the wise man? How do we know? James says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show us." Is that what he said? This is the show me state. Okay? Oh, I'm the wise one. I've got it all figured out. And the world can look and honestly say, "Show us." Because that's where wisdom is. It's not in what you conclude in your mind. It's not the fantasies that you have and the dreams that you have and the, "Well, if I were there, well, if it was me, well, I would do..." You don't know that. That's speculation. If it's a wise thing, I hope you're right. But you're not there, okay? So until you can show us, it's best to work on showing us and not talking about it. I'm not saying we shouldn't discuss concepts of wisdom. I'm talking about boasting here, okay? I'm talking about in your own mind, elevating yourself in your own mind, thinking, you know, I'm the smart one. That's the first step to falling right on your face in front of everybody. That's right. Let him show out of a good conduct his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not. Don't boast about your wisdom, and don't lie against the truth. Don't live in denial. If you're full of envying and strife, you're not the one. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, having to do with your senses, earthly values, carnality, and devilish. It's from hell. For where envying and strife is, I'm not talking about contending for the faith. We're talking about strife rooted in envy, okay? Strife rooted in self-advancement. Strife rooted in self-preservation, self-gratification, self-assertion, the inner struggles of wanting to rise above for my own glory. That's from the devil. Envy and strife there. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, clean. Is first pure and clean, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, which actually means easily persuadable. In other words, this person is very easy to correct when you have the facts. This wisdom readily latches on to new light and new truth and is not stuck in a rut of old ideas. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. You see, according to this verse, wisdom is from two sources. Either earthly, sensual, devilish, which is obviously a carnal human, the humanity boasting of itself and desiring to gratify and glorify and impress. Or then the wisdom from above, which is first pure. I mean, it's a real thing. It's true. A lot of people have theories and philosophies. The world is full of them. But if it's not real and true, then it's not pure. Then peaceable. In other words, true wisdom is seeking righteous peace. True wisdom is not seeking strife. True wisdom isn't constantly stirring the pot and causing problems. True wisdom is seeking things to calm down and everyone to act appropriately and things to be done decently and in order. That's true wisdom. Gentle. Now, gentle doesn't mean that Jesus shouldn't have cleansed the temple. Gentle means that first pure, after the temple's clean, then we can get to peaceable and gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, the question is, being that we all would like to think that we're the smart one, it's part of our humanity, okay? We don't want to, yes, in some ways, I know that the wire nuts in here know more about electricity and wiring than I do, okay? We're talking about the overall approach to life. There are people here that know more about computers. There's people here who know more about their particular topic. But overall in life, we're navigating through life. We like to feel like we're doing pretty good. But the question about wisdom, how does it translate into real life? That's where we need to look. Okay? We need to get away from the fog of thinking that we would do better if we were here, or we would do better than that, or we would handle this better. You know, I would not want to be a surgeon. I would not want to be the president. I would not want to be the governor right now. I'm basically praying for wisdom to be who I am and do my duties. Wisdom has to do with what society would that wisdom produce. Does it work in the real world or just in our bubble? What type of family life does it produce? In other words, if I'm so wise, how's that working in my family? What type of morality does it produce? In other words, if I'm so wise, what type of family, what type of morality, what type of leadership? What type of message does my life give out? What type of marriage does it produce? We do what we do because we think we're smart. You're not going to deliberately do something that you think is stupid unless you're just trying to get a laugh, okay? You're not going to seriously do what you think is stupid. You're going to seriously try to do what you think is smart, and the decisions you make and the directions you turn and the places you go and the conclusions you come to are because you think you're acting in wisdom. You think your choices are the best for your situation. And that's why we do what we do. Proverbs 31:28 talks about the translating of someone's wisdom into real life and the results thereof. It talks about the Proverbs 31 woman. and says that her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, the true wisdom, she shall be praised. Now, every other woman is thinking she's smart and thinking she's doing what is wise for her situation, but this woman is fearing God. The one is trying to have the best favor and beauty because she thinks she's smarter than God and she knows this is best for her situation. But the Bible says the one that fears the Lord, that gets that wisdom from that source, she's going to ultimately be praised. 31 says, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Same goes to the husband. Will your children rise up and call you blessed? Where is your wisdom from? Turn to Matthew chapter 11. All this has to do, a lot to do, with whose pipe you're dancing to. Matthew chapter 11. We're going to talk a little bit about wisdom here. Jesus is speaking of that. Verse 16. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? There were people questioning what he was doing. Why is he doing this? He shouldn't be doing that. He had all kinds of sideline critics and umpires and judges, okay? Everybody thought they could be the Messiah better than the Messiah. Everybody thought that they knew how he should be. If you're the Messiah, you should be doing this and that and something else. It's always that way. If I were the father, if I were the pastor, if I were the mother, if I were the president, if I were the sheriff, Jesus dealt with the same thing. He says, but whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children, of her children, of the product, which is a Jewish way of saying of the children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, now listen to what he says. If you follow the thought here, okay, there are people who are not listening to Jesus because he's not dancing to their fiddle. He's not mourning to their pipe, okay? He's not doing it their way. So what are they thinking? They think they are the smart ones. If I want you to dance to my pipe, then I think I'm the smart one and you need to listen. But the problem was they needed to listen to him. And they would not because of this bubble of thinking that they were the smart ones. So they thought that we're the smart ones. We're working at discrediting him so we can remain the smart one. And those people following him, yeah, they're not too bright. And so Jesus said what he said about they want him to dance to their tune. Then he upbraids the cities where his mighty works were done because they were not listening. And then he says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hath revealed them unto babes. In other words, you all think you're so smart that you can't be taught. And you think that the people who are following me are the babes, the simple ones. And then he says, so be it. Thank you, Father, for hiding these things from the wise and prudent and revealing them unto the babes. In other words, I can see, God, that your way is so perfect and appropriate, Father. Thank you for how you have operated. Thank you for how you are sifting the hearts of men. those who think that they are superior and want everybody to follow them, they're missing out. They can't be reached. Why? Because they're too wise. Jesus said, that's just fine. God, reveal your wisdom to these babes. Reveal your wisdom to these socially looked at as simpletons. We'll be fools. The ones willing to be fools for Christ. God, okay, reveal your wisdom to them. And Jesus said here, but wisdom is justified by her children, by the production, the fruit it bears. See, the world was making its own rule book and judging Jesus by their standard. Their standards, their rule book, made them the wise ones and made Jesus' followers the babes. Okay? The question is, whose pipe are you dancing to? Will that stand? On Judgment Day, will you be judged by your rule book? No. Will you be judged by your standards? By what you thought? No. You're going to be judged by what he thought. You're going to be judged by a standard bigger and higher than all of us. Will eternity declare you to be the wise man or the fool? Wisdom is an Anglo-Saxon word. Wise doom. The word doom is an old word for judgment. Wise judgment. Okay? Wisdom. The ability and skill to make judgments and decisions that end in true success. Okay? Noah has been learning about aerial navigation. You can learn about nautical navigation. Navigation has to do with getting from point A to point B the most safe, productive, and timely way. The best path, the best speed, the best method, the best tools. Wise judgment, wise discernment, okay? Best is determined by success in all of its factors. You can be successful in one factor and totally fail in another factor, and ultimately you fail. Turn to Exodus 31. So we're talking about wisdom, wise doom, wise judgment, and the fact that there are two sources. Wisdom comes from two sources because there are two different goals. Okay, if the goal on earth is to become the richest, most famous, and glorious on earth to human beings, there's a different wisdom to get there. If the goal is to win eternally, there's a different wisdom there. Okay? Wisdom is justified by the product. Exodus 31:1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and in understanding and knowledge and all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and silver and brass and in cutting of stones, and set them in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. Now, what wisdom, wise doom, good judgment, what good judgment did Bezaleel and Aholiab need? They needed to be able to get the job done right. Okay? They needed to be able to look at this raw material and know how to get the raw material into the proper product that would please God, that would please Moses, that would fill the bill, and to do it the best way and to get a quality product. To please the master, to please the buyer, to please the king, to please the customer. All that is getting from point A to point B. And God said it requires wise judgment, good judgment, to do that. Okay? And he said, I am giving them this good judgment. Solomon was given great wisdom. It didn't mean that he lived the most exemplary life. The works that he purposed to do, He was able to envision the right way to get from point A to point B. He had great wit, okay? An ability, good judgment to say, I'm going to build a temple. This is the best way to do it, and it worked. I'm going to do this, and I think this is the best way to do it, and it worked. And they came to him with a problem. We got this problem, and he said, there's a solution, and it worked. God gave him great ability to get from point A to point B in the best possible manner. The problem is, in doing so, Solomon began to think of himself as the source of wisdom instead of tuning into the source of wisdom. He was very successful and became a big fool. Okay? And that's the danger. That's very dangerous. Because wisdom does not come from me. I can be a receptacle of wisdom, and I can work it out. And me working it out shows that I have gained some. But I don't become the source. And as I go along through life, I can tune into the source of heavenly wisdom, the wisdom that is from above. Or I can tune into other sources of wisdom. I can read books. I can listen to news sources. I can tune into people and friends and ideas, and I can gain the wisdom to get there and the wisdom to do that. And like Solomon, in eternity, blow it. Three students are taking a test. The first takes 30 minutes and turns in the test. The second takes 45 minutes and turns in the test. The third takes an hour and turns in the test. Which one is the wise one? Which one has the best judgment and skill? We don't know yet. You don't know until you see the grade. Okay? So, the one who went through first, people might think, oh, whoa, he's smart. He might get half of them wrong. When the grade comes out, he may flunk. Oh, the guy that took the longest, he must be the smart one. He's really being careful. He may not know what he's doing is why he took so long. We don't know until we see the grade. Success, the wisdom, is determined by the final grade. So who decides the grade? You say the teacher. No, not really. The teacher has a grade book, an answer book. The teacher is not the standard. The teacher grades the paper according to a standard higher than she is. Right. Prior to her and higher than her. So, standards of truth and excellence are set. They are higher than we are. We don't make them. We submit to them. We don't decide, well, this is not okay for my life. My situation's different. We can't do that. And if we look around, we might say, well, he's getting done really fast. He's smart. Or he's slow. He's smart. No. Wisdom is justified by the product. The product is judged according to high standards. Higher than us. Prior to us. Bigger than we are. The one who wrote the curriculum. Acts 17:24, we've read this before. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. He wrote the curriculum. He set the standard. That they should seek the Lord. If happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said. For we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, literally in the Greek, began to laugh. And others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Why did they begin to laugh? They thought they were too wise for this. I'm too wise for this. Who's the wise one? Obviously the one that feels after him and finds him. Obviously the one who meets the grade set by the one who wrote the curriculum, right? 1 Corinthians 2:6. Paul says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world." He wrote the curriculum before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Or they flunked. They thought they were wise. Pilate thought he was wise. Herod thought he was wise. Caiaphas thought he was wise. But they flunked. Miserably so. And that flunking will be an eternal flunking. Turn to Romans 1. We're talking about wisdom. In the book of Proverbs, you'll find that talks about the fool. All these bad things about the fool, and it said there's more hope of a fool than the one who's wise in his own conceit. Wise in his own conceit. Wise by his own standard of wisdom. There's more hope of a fool than of him, the Bible says. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul sees in the gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Okay, in the gospel of Christ, there's a lot of people in this world who think they're just too wise for that. Oh, you're a Christian. Okay. Good boy. They think they're just too wise for that. They're wise in their own conceit. They've got their own standard. I've got my own rule book. According to my rule book, I'm the wise one. According to my curriculum, I'm getting all the answers right. The sad thing is that there is a lawgiver, a curriculum writer, who created the planet, who owns the planet, who will give the final report card. And whatever my wisdom might be, if he doesn't see it as wise, I just flunked. Romans 1:17, for therein, the gospel, therein is the righteousness, the justification, the salvation program, the wisdom of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth, who have it, also who suppress it, in unrighteousness or injustice. Lack of wisdom, partiality, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, when they had access to the gospel, when they had access to the wisdom of God, they were too wise for it. They had access to the Word of God. Oh, they had smarter things to do. They didn't go to the Word of God daily as the source of wisdom. Oh, but they made sure that they listened to their favorite news channel or newspaper, or they consulted with their own brain plenty. They talked to their friends. Oh, they consulted with their buddies. They did what they thought was wise. But they didn't go to the source of true wisdom and sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to the words of God. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, as wise. They did not categorize him as true wisdom, neither were thankful for the opportunity to know it, but became vain, empty in their imagined wisdom. And their foolish heart was darkened by that wisdom which they chose that they thought was superior. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools which is always the case. And how does it show that? It shows how it worked out in real life. They became idolaters. They became following they lost their morality. Okay? They began to change the truth of God into a lie. They began to try to twist the word of God to fit their plan, their wisdom. You know, it's funny. If you don't believe the Bible's wise, why do you always seek its endorsement? Why do you come up with your own plan and try to make the Bible endorse it? Try to twist the Bible to fit it. Try to get the Bible's approval when you don't think the Bible's the source of wisdom. You think you are. These men who, professing themselves to be wise, eventually became homosexuals and lesbians, these people. In other words, they showed their utter stupidity and foolishness, because when you don't submit to the wisdom, when you choose another wisdom, another source of wisdom with another goal, you begin to degenerate in your mind. It says, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And I've told you in the past, it means if they did not like to have a mind that could search out God, God gave them over to an unsearching mind to do those things that were not proper. There are men who were in this church who at one time acknowledged our pursuit of the faith once delivered to the saints, who acknowledged the fact of the direction we were going, seeking the wisdom from above, trying to be accurate with the word, trying not to fall into the groove of some denominational movement, but really search it out and stay by the word of God. And they acknowledged that, and they even moved over here to live here and be a part of that. And I know a man who then later on began to tap into a different source of wisdom, and began to look upon us as Pharisees. Began to think that we were the fools and he was the wise one. Today, that man's family is a total wreck and the man is a homosexual. And you know what? He still thinks he's the wise one. He still thinks he's smart. He still thinks he's the wise one. You say, boy, Brother Mark, that's scary. That's scary that can happen to other people. No, it can happen to you. That man at one time said in this congregation, saying amen and shaking his head. It goes on to say, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Boy, those are really bad people. Read the next one. Disobedient to parents. Without understanding, covenant breakers. Without natural affection. Implacable, unmerciful. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them, because they think they are wiser. They know the judgment of God. They know the wisdom of God and what it says. They think that this is better for me. This is wisdom for me. See, can people really fall that low? They do all the time. This idea of professing themselves to be wise, Adam Clark says, this is most strikingly true of all ancient philosophers, whether Greeks or Romans, as their works which remain sufficiently testify. The word faskentev signifies not merely the professing, but the assumption of the philosophic character. Not merely professing themselves to be wise, assuming the assumption of wisdom. In this sense, that word is used by the best Greek writers. A dispassionate examination of the doctrine and lives of the most famed philosophers of antiquity of every nation will show that they were darkened in their mind and irregular in their conduct. It was from the Christian religion alone that true philosophy and genuine philosophers sprang. Do you know that all ancient religions that people want to tout today, all the ancient religions were built around priestcraft and prostitution? Check it out. The morality of the system tells the wisdom. Deuteronomy 4:6. Keep therefore and do them, God says. For this is your wisdom, the commandments, the law of God. This is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. How many people are willing to acknowledge the wisdom from above, but they don't want to live it? How many people, when you take your children in the bank, they'll say, oh, your children are so good, they're so well behaved. Yeah, mine just aren't that way. I told one lady one time, I said, well, they're not born good. I said, if you raise them God's way, God has a plan and a program that helps children to be good. Oh, she said, she had two. No, my children are just different. I said, look, I had 12. Okay? I know what I'm talking about. They're all different, but the recipe works on all of them. You can make them to where they behave. Adam Clark says on Deuteronomy 4:6, there was no mode of worship at this time on the face of the earth that was not wicked, obscene, puerile, foolish, or ridiculous, except that established by God himself among the Israelites. Okay? There's a difference between the wisdom from above and the wisdom from beneath when it comes to morality. What does it produce? What kind of family does it produce? You can read the practices of these nations and their temples. It was all built, or somebody's perverted mind established a system whereby fornication and wickedness could be sanctified and called a religion. And when people leave the wisdom from above, when they leave the wisdom of God, and they go about establishing their own wisdom, that's where they end up. History has proven it. And where it says here, the nation shall say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Adam Clark goes on to say, almost all the nations in the earth show that they had formed this opinion of the Jews by borrowing from them the principal parts of their civil code. Take away what Asia and Europe, whether ancient or modern, have borrowed from the Mosaic laws, and you will leave little behind that can be called excellent. Okay, you can get caught in your little bubble of wisdom, but the history of mankind has showed two basic sources of wisdom. And the wisdom that is from above has a character, and it produces something different than the wisdom earthly. Deuteronomy 4:40, thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. This phrase, that it may be well with thee, Deuteronomy 5:29, oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it may be well with them and their children forever. This is repeated in 5:16, 6:3, and 18, 12:25, and 28, and 22:7, and then again in Ephesians 6:3, which is quoting, that it may be well with thee. What does wisdom look like? Do we know? Do we care? When we look in the mirror, is our life a reflection, our family a reflection, our marriage a reflection of the wisdom that cometh from above? Are we daily seeking the wisdom that cometh from above? Are we praying for it? Are we analyzing ourselves by it? Or is that secret assumption running the show? That little assumption that I can take some from the Bible, and I can take some from here, and I can use my own wit, and that's wiser yet. Deuteronomy 4:5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Multi-generational wisdom. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it should be given him. Everyone wants to be the wise one. Everyone wants to think they're the smart one. Mind you, if you're trying to be the Elvis Presley, the wisdom you're going to take to get there is going to send you to hell. Oh, while you're getting there, you can think, I am so smart. I feel the wisdom. It's propelling me forward to my goal. If you want to be the movie star, there's a wisdom that's going to propel you over there, and you're going to feel like you're smart because you got from point A to point B. But when the report cards are passed out from the real teacher, while you are sitting in class playing your phone game and thinking that you were so smart because you won, but you just flunked the class. Okay? It's the same on Judgment Day. You get to Judgment Day and think, wow, man, the rich man, you know? Fared sumptuously every day. I am so smart. And he wakes up in hell. And then he realizes, I was so stupid. So what does multi-generational wisdom look like? Eli's sons, we talked about this morning, they thought they were really smart. Boy, they got the best of both worlds. They were living high. They wouldn't trade their place for anybody in Israel. They thought they were wise. Eternity shows them to be major fools. Major fools. So foolish. To the destruction of their marriage, their family, and their nation, and their family name. Multi-generational wisdom. You know what it would look like right here? It would look like young men listening in church, paying close attention, believing God's word, going home and praying for wisdom, studying the Bible, doing their memory work, doing their chores, building a godly character. I'm going to build a good character. I'm going to follow the wisdom from above. I'm going to follow the wisdom from above and become a wise man according to that wisdom. And the young lady saying, you know what? I'm going to follow the wisdom from above. I'm going to become a wise woman based on that wisdom. And raising up children. And living under the blessing of God. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out, and blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Blessed shall be thy field, and God gives the blessings upon the ones who are wise. God watches over the wise. The wise are calling upon him. The wise are seeking his wisdom. He upbraideth not. He's not going to upbraid you. He's not going to make you belittle you when you come to ask for wisdom. He wants you. He knows that you need it. You are not the source. He is. And every multi-generational wisdom would show godly homes blossoming. Children obedient. Grandchildren. More homes. Paying their bills. Being wise financially. Not chasing after the world. Not chasing after other sources of wisdom. But growing and multiplying. And being a true light for the Lord. And having the blessing of the Lord. That's what God wanted for Israel. Israel could have been a nation that awed every other nation. The other nations looked at their statutes and their laws and were impressed. Wow, where'd this come from? You guys? No, they knew. The world knew. Even the Jews' enemies. Do you know one of the best preserved copies of the Pentateuch? By scholars overall, this copying of the Pentateuch and preservation of the Pentateuch is tops. Most scholars agree that this is probably the purest form of the Pentateuch.